Bibles tonight to the book of, or this morning. Praise God, I'm excited about being saved tonight. Amen, I'm already praising the Lord. Amen. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. I don't normally preach like I'm going to preach this morning as far as the typical message. I normally preach expository preaching. I try to get in a passage or a verse or a word, and just squeeze all the juice out of it, and just kindly dig it out. But the Lord's impressed our heart to just kindly preach from some things that I've learned, that I've seen over the past 32 years that have been, and this is the title, that has been Steps to Spiritual Survival. And friend, I'm telling you, you've seen them and I've seen them make professions and they fizzle out. They don't last a week, 2 weeks, a month. You know, of course, something's wrong with that. One, either they didn't get saved, and that's likely, that's possible. But on the other hand, some of them did get saved and the Lord began to deal with them about some things in their life, and they started stubbing up on God right off the bat. And when you do that, friend, your spiritual joy is gone. Your spiritual growth is gone. Amen. Your spiritual ambition is gone. And there you are, you know. Amen. But I believe that there's some that's saved that just need to learn some of these truths that's in the Bible about spiritual survival. And everybody that I know that's got saved really wants to serve God. I don't know, I've never seen one. Listen, I got the privilege to see, I believe it was 4 young boys get saved this week. And on Wednesday night, in fact. But you know what? Listen, God's got a plan for their life. I said, God's got a plan for your life. He's got something He wants you to do. Amen. And if you'll go with God and be obedient to God, listen, you will finish your course with joy. You'll finish. You'll want to survive. My worst nightmare, my greatest fearful thought is that Barry Rackley quit. I'd rather be dead than to quit. I could not face you. How could I look at you in the face having quit on God? I'd dig a hole and crawl in it and pull the hole in on me. I couldn't stand it. Amen? And may God revive that shame of quitting in all of us. That we stay with the stuff. Finish your course. This race is about run. And it may be that some here this morning thinking about, or at least entertaining the thought of getting slack and maybe throwing in the towel. And maybe, God, I used the simple truths that I've seen in my own life to help me in 32 years to keep going for the glory of God. Amen. Has it been tough? Has there been rough places? Has there been valleys, battles, disappointments, difficulties? Has the thought ever come through my mind, what's the use? Of course it has. Amen. I mean, Brother Krutschko's been preaching, how many years, preacher? 50-something or longer than that, maybe. And you know what? I guarantee he'd tell you that the thoughts at least went through his mind when he was hurt, when he was disappointed, when he was discouraged, amen, when he was abandoned by people, when he, you know, lied on or whatever, amen. The sin is not for it to have the thought. The sin is to act on it. The sin is when you say, okay, I believe I will. I believe I will quit. I believe I will leave. I believe I will. And boy, when you do that, just as you make that first step in salvation, your will turns positive toward God. When you say yes to the flesh, your will turns positive back toward the flesh. And your flesh will take you to the far country and wreck and ruin your life and fill your life with scars and misery. It really will. Let's read the last words of the Apostle Paul. Let's start in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Paul's admonishing young Timothy that's coming along behind him. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. I wrote above that will has. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that word heap means to find in piles. There's piles of compromising, ear-tickling, back-scratching preachers. They'll never offend you. They'll never preach nothing negative. They'll never preach against sin. And they'll talk about the grace living that they're living. Amen. Well, look here. Paul said in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, mystical speculations, fiction, stories. Nonsense. Yeah. Verse 5. But watch thou. Timothy, you don't have to get caught up in that falling away. Timothy, you don't have to go the way that they're going. But watch thou in all things endure. I like that word, endure. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. In Paul's last recorded words, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And we'll stop reading there, have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Do pray for me that the Lord will help me this morning. Our Father, I want to thank you for the great privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God, Lord, on this special day. Of course, Sunday's always a special day, whether it's in January or what month, or even whatever date that it is. Lord, I thank you for putting it in my heart. Lord, put me in the church. Lord, giving me that commitment to the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you now for your faithfulness to me over these 32 years. Thank you, Lord. I can stand today and say that I'm here and I'm still saved, still serving the Lord, but because of your grace and your faithfulness to me. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'll help me now to look in these just simple truths that would help us to know how to survive spiritually. And Lord, I believe that Paul is well qualified to give us the answers, because he certainly did do that. Have your way this morning. We'll give you the praise. Save sinners, Lord. Stir the saints of God. Help the young converts. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul was told by the Holy Spirit in verse number 23... Well, let me just read verse 22. And now, behold, Paul said, I go bound to in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Did you hear that? Paul was not looking for a starlit sky and a sunrise and a beautiful flower, a flowery bed of ease. Paul knew when he got saved, his whole life of being a Christian was going to be involving suffering. Did you know that? How many people would get saved anyhow if God told you before you got saved that your life was going to be full of suffering? Amen. God told, God there in Acts chapter 9, God told, was it Ananias? Go tell Paul and show Paul the things that he must suffer for my sake. Amen? Which probably was a little bit of reaping of his life prior to getting saved, because he persecuted the church and caused all kinds of harm and hurt and even death to the people of God. And so after he got saved, God told him, you're going to suffer. Verse 16 of Acts 9, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But you know what? That didn't cause Paul to quit. Amen. And we need to know, and you need to know, that if you get saved, friend, listen, yes, you're on God's side now, which means the devil is on the other side, the opponent side. Amen? You're going to have problems. Sure, lost people have problems. Saved people have problems. The difference is we don't have to get drunk to deal with ours. We've got a Savior. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Scriptures. We've got the fellowship of the saints that can help us deal with problems in life. But in chapter number 20, as I was reading there, and now I go bound in the spirit of Acts 20 and verse 22, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Ghost, everywhere he went, kept telling him and bearing witness to him of bonds and afflictions that was going to abide him. Someone said when Paul came to town, he didn't find out where the motel was. He found out where the jail was, because he knew he'd be in it probably before dark. Amen. We've got such a weak-kneed, amen, weak-kneed Christianity today that if somebody don't shake your hand, they'll quit church. Amen. If somebody don't look at you just right, amen, that you'll misconstrue or misunderstand it, and you'll think they meant something by the raising of their eyebrows when they might have had a migraine, for all you know. But the devil will tell you that they don't like you, and they got something against you, and they're talking about you, and then you get your little pacifier and go to the house. Amen. If you're going to survive in this spiritual day, if you're going to survive today, you better find out what the keys are. You better find out what the steps to that is. Amen? Paul wanted to, well, let me just read it. Let's read his heart. Acts 20 and verse 24, when he was told by the Holy Spirit that in every city bonds and afflictions would abide him. Verse number 24, here was Paul's response to that. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Did everybody hear that? But none of these things move me. And here is the secret. Here is the secret. Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's it. Paul, why are you not quitting because of the troubles and the hardships? Well, because I am not important. I'm not counting myself dear. Amen. Amen. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. Not just finish my course, but I want to finish it on top. I want to finish it with joy in my soul. And the ministry. I want to finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And so we know that Paul said that early on in his ministry, and then his dying words, he tells us, I finished my course. He tells us, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. Paul is telling us in that verse number 7 that since I'm saved, I am now a fighter. I'm a soldier. I fought a good fight. When you get saved, you are in a battleground. You're in a battlefield. You're in a battle. There's enemies. Amen. But oh, thank God, Ephesians 6 tells us that we have the whole armor that's been given to us that we can put on. And as a result of that, we can survive having that spiritual armor on. And by the way, I preached on that several years ago. Did you know that each one of those pieces of that armor are practical? Practical. Putting on the helmet of salvation, that's dealing with your thought life. That's dealing with your thought life. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's dealing with your walk. Amen. How do you put on the whole armor of God? Well, you put the helmet on by thinking right. God, help me that today to think right. To think right. How you think is how you live. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. That word righteousness means purity. Amen. Practical righteousness. Amen. Just good old-fashioned living right. That's how you defeat the fiery darts of the wicked. Is, ladies and gentlemen, have good thought life, walk right, amen, make good choices about morality and spirituality and purity. Amen. Well, we could go on and on. That wasn't part of the message, but God put it in there. Amen, that's all right. But he said, I'm a fighter. I fought a good fight. One thing that'll help you, young converts, or it'll help any of us, is to stay mentally aware that you are in God's military. We are earnestly, Jude's gospel, Jude, the epistle of Jude tells us in verse 3 that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God's people are contenders. Some religions today have taken all of the militant songs out of their hymnals. Stand up. Stand up, you soldiers of the cross. They took them that song out. Amen. Anything to do with fighting or being militant or being in an army, fighting for God, they took all of that out. Why? They said we're supposed to be lovey-dovey. I don't believe people has a clue what all that means. Amen. Well, he said, I'm a fighter. I'm a soldier. And then he said, not only am I a fighter, but I'm a finisher. He said, I want to finish my course. He's telling us there, he said, I'm a runner. I'm running just like a running a race. He said, I finished my course. And I want to finish mine. And then he closes by saying, I have kept the faith. He said, I've not only been a fighter and a finisher, but he said, I have been faithful. When you step away from faithfulness to spiritual things, that's your first step in the wrong direction. And I want it to be on record this morning that you do not have to quit. You do not have to be overcome with evil. You do not. There's resources, spiritual resources that will enable you that in spite of the darkness and difficulties of our day, you can live a victorious Christian life if you want to. Now, you probably won't live a victorious Christian life when you're wanting to hold hands with the world with one hand and then hold hands with God with the other hand. But anybody that'll forsake what he's got and who he is and follow the Lord can live a victorious life. Amen. And I am troubled at many as many people as I'm seeing that are falling by the wayside. That troubles me. And we need all the help we can get. Isn't that right? Do you agree with that? We need all the help we can get. We don't need anybody to leave their spot empty. We don't need anybody to leave their pew empty. We need everybody on board. We need everybody armed and ready to stand for God in these last days. I heard Dr. Oliver B. Green say this week on the radio, he said any old heifer and bull can run with the herd. Meaning, it doesn't take any effort to be worldly. It don't take any effort to run with the crowd and to go with the flow. Any dead fish can go with the current. Amen. But may God help us, if you're saved by the grace of God, that you will find your place and as a soldier for the Lord. Let me give you this. This has come out of my life. This has come out of my life. Now I can testify that these steps right here has been the things that have kept me going for 32 years. And I'm convinced we'll continue to do so. It's not deep. but very practical and very important. The first one that I found shortly after getting saved, I mean immediately, and has been still yet true in my life. Number one, the first step to spiritual survival is an appetite for the Word of God. Amen. When you lay your Bible down and don't read it that first day or that second day or that third day or whatever day it is, that's the first day headed toward defeat. Amen. You need the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be preached, but the Word of God needs to be practiced. Paul told that crowd in Corinthians, he said, ye are our epistles. He said, God has put His Word in you, not with ink, but He put it in your heart, an appetite for the Word of God. You cannot make it. I say that emphatically. I say it very dogmatically. You cannot, I cannot make it spiritually in this world of conflict and temptation without a relationship with the Word of God. Now listen, I'm not talking about just reading it. You can read the Word of God every day and still be backslid as a goat. You can read the Word of God every day and still be sad and have no joy and have no meaning in life. When's the last time you fed on the Word of God? If I were to ask, when's the last time have you read the Word of God? You might could remember that, but when's the last time you fed on the Scripture? Amen. Man shall not live, just what Jesus said in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I don't have time to go into the study on that, but when he talks about every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, now we know that this word right here came from the mouth of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and Brother Randy, inspiration means God breathed. The Holy Ghost moved on holy men of old, and God used their pen and their personality, but yet God wrote the Bible through their hand. Are you listening? The Word of God needs definitely to be preached, and it needs to be practiced. But when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that word there is not logos, which is the word that Greek word is used to describe the written word. That word there is the rhema word. And you study it out, the word, that rhema word, and it's also used in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's rhema word. You look how many times you read the Logos word before you got saved. But you know when business picked up in your life? You know when you started getting serious about getting saved? It's when the Logos word produced a rhema word, a personal word in your heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is, you know what your life is going to depend on? Your spiritual existence, your spiritual endurance is going to depend on God speaking to you. Amen. God speaking to you. Amen. Listen, if you go a little bit of time, a day or two, and God don't speak to you, you ought to get nervous. Amen. My spiritual survival, 32 years, are you listening? Comes from an appetite for God's Word. Amen. People have been saved for years and they still hadn't memorized a verse of Scripture. Amen. How active are we of trying to hide the Word? Did not David say that in Psalms 119? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. David said the key to keep me from sinning is the word of God. The book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the book. How's your relationship to the word of God? Say amen right there. We're needing revival desperately. When I say we, I'm talking about church. Churches of like faith need revival bad. If we spent a fourth, I probably could bring it on down. But let's just use a fourth. If we spent fourth as much time in the Word of God as we do with cell phones and iPads and any kind of electronics and video games, we would be in the middle of an outbreak of revival. Anybody, listen, study it out for yourself, read about Bible characters, read about church history characters that made a difference on their generation, and see if they were not all people of the book. Come on now, I live in the same world you do. I got the same flesh you do. And I know how easy it is when you get up in the morning to leave this laying on the wherever you've got it laying, if you can remember where you laid it. It's a lot easier to see if you've got any text. It's a lot easier to check and see if you've got an email. It's a lot easier to start making some calls. It's a lot easier, amen, to get so carried away right off the bat and leave the Word of God. Listen, it would be shocking if we knew right in this service today have not read the Word of God in 4 or 5 days. I heard just the other day somebody a young teenage girl, in 1 month's time, sent over 9,000 texts in 1 month. I promise you, that young lady has not been in the Word of God. How could you? Over 9,000? Over 9,000 in 30 days? I don't know what that would come to per day, but that'd be a lot, amen? I guarantee they never squeezed a verse of Scripture in there nowhere. Well, if we're going to survive, we're going to have an appetite for the Word of God. If you start living off of bread alone, the physical nourishment, what is attracted to the physical, you're not going to make it spiritually. The devil knew that when he dealt with Eve. Eve was tempted to feed on the forbidden instead of feeding on the Word of God by obedience. Amen. Feeding on God's Word is as natural and expected and producing growth in your life spiritually as eating physically. You came into this world. I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something this morning. If all these people that we're hearing about everywhere that's getting saved, if they're getting saved, where's the appetite for God's Word? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You came into this world physically hungry. You came into this world, amen, with your physical birth, screaming your head off and wanting something to eat. You didn't know that's what it was. Nobody had told you, you're hungry, little baby, you need to start pitching a hissy. They'd come into this world with it already in their makeup and in their nature. I have got to eat to survive. I have got to eat to grow. But people claim to be born again spiritually, and they never have an appetite for God's Word. I wouldn't trust that to take me to Walmart, much less to heaven. So we move on. There's a lot more I could give on that. Feeding on the Word of God, an appetite for the Word of God. Secondly, and there's a lot of verses you can add to that on the appetite of God's Word. And I've got several, but I'm going to move on. The second step to spiritual survival, and this kills most, if it's not the appetite of the Word of God, secondly is the activity in the work of God. You know why a lot of people don't survive spiritually? They don't do nothing. Hello. Amen. Physically, if you did physically like most do spiritually, you wouldn't be alive physically long. Isn't that right? If we had the do nothing mentality that's in the spiritual life, if we were to put that over into the physical life, we wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of couch potatoes with clogged arteries and heart attacks and weigh 9,000 pounds. Isn't that right? Activity in the work of God. One of the best things you can do, and you young converts, listen, one of the best things you can do, of course, ultimately, first thing you need to do is follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which is an outward public testimony. I am saved. The old man I used to be is dead. It's buried. And I've been raised in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, and I'm walking in a new walk. First thing you need to do, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. That's a great way of confessing your faith. But you know what else you need to do? Of course, who baptized? Who on earth has got the authority to baptize you? The church. When you're saying, I want to be baptized, I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you're saying by that, I want to hook up with the house of God, I want to get involved in the church, I want to get busy for the will of God and purpose of God for my life. So a good way to get started is like Paul. As soon as he got saved, he asked, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'll never forget it when I got saved. I mean, I'd been in church as far as going, but I never were in church as far as active, as far as doing anything. I just went, you know. But when I got saved, all that changed. I'm not talking about after I started preaching. I'm talking about immediately. Hey, immediately. Immediately, we started knocking on doors, and me and Brother Stanley and Brother Jack and Brother Gary, my cousin, and several others there, we'd get together and start going up and down them hollers and them old drunks. They had a bunch of Owens over there, brother. I don't know. You probably kenned a bunch of them. Hey, rough. Chapmans, Powells, whatever that is. Snow falling off. What if that had been Jesus coming? How many had still been left here? Huh? Hey, man. I wouldn't have seen it either. I'd been way up yonder, amen. But there'd been some still left here, and you need to get in today. That's right. Praise God. That caught my attention. I thought, what is that, amen? Jesus is coming. Get ready, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, amen. But there's the activity in the work of God. You can't quit the old life and leave yourself in neutral. You know what happens when you leave your car in neutral? It's going to follow the grade. It's going to go wherever the pull of gravity is going to take it. You can't take your life out of gear in sin and pull it into neutral at getting saved and just leave it there. No, friend. Hallelujah. Put it in gear for the Lord. Paul was a great servant, was he not? Before he got saved. Great religious. I mean, he was religious. Whatever he was supposed to do or was asked to do, he did it. Well, when he got saved, you know what? He didn't quit serving. He just changed masters. If God's... Listen, you serve the devil, and I've got scripture to prove that, everybody that's lost. when you're serving the devil. You're serving what he wants you to do. Amen. You're walking according to the prince and power of the air. That's right. And when you get saved, instead of keeping that level of servitude up and just change masters, I'm going to take that same zeal that I had for sin, that same desire I had for sin, and I'm going to turn it in the direction of righteousness, and I'm going to serve and honor God with it. But what does people do? They're wide open for the devil, and then they get saved. And here's what Baptists do. Everybody watching? Hey, bless him, Lord. Okay, we're dismissed. Hey, God doesn't save anybody unless he's got a plan in mind for your life. He's put you in the body of Christ. You are important to God. You're needed in the work of God. Most churches, 10% of the people, generally, this is a general statistic, 10% of the people carries 90% of the load. What's that other 90% doing? What would happen if everybody that's saved in this church would have an appetite for the Word of God and then would have activity in the work of God? My soul. Amen. That right? Lord help us, Jesus. Activity. Get busy. Get busy. Idle mind's the devil's workshop. And he said, but preach, I'm saved, but I'm just still doing the same old things I used to do. Are you sure you can say that's salvation? Let me move on. Some of you done cut me off already. Yeah, you want to kill a Baptist, just talking about working. Isn't that right? I mean, you kill a Baptist, you can talk about money or working, and they'll bleed to death before they get to the car. Amen. Isn't that right? They want to get saved for nothing. They want to get saved by the grace of God, which means God does it for you. Amen. But then they want that grace living to go on over into your life to where, well, praise God, I'm going to heaven and I don't have to do nothing. No, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, it says that, and yes, it is true, and thank God for it. But that's not all the verses. The very next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are you going to do with the book of James? What are you going to do with the epistle of James when the Bible says faith without works is dead? People that claim to be saved, but they never have a desire to do anything for the Lord. Something's wrong with that. James says faith without works is dead. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God and you've got saving faith in your life, that faith will produce works in your life. So the second step of spiritual survival is not, the first one was what? Have an appetite for the Word of God. Amen. Hello. It's right, isn't it? Amen. And I don't want to get back on that, but look at the things in your life that's taken the place of God's Word. That's moved the Bible out. Moved it over to the sideline of your life and look what's taken its place. An appetite for God's Word. Activity in the work of God. Number three. The third thing that, my friend, is necessary for spiritual survival is availability to the will of God. Availability. Someone said the best ability is availability. How many in this building, don't raise your hand, but how many in this building can honestly say that you have a heart that says to God, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done. Did you know that if I had that mentality in my heart, I would have never been in Rogersville? I would have never been in Rogersville. That's right. But I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be doing what God wants me to do. Amen. I'm talking about availability. God, what do you want? Amen. Is there anybody in here that's got that element of submission in your life to where you say, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to stop doing? Lord, I'm making myself available to the will of God. You can survive. If you've got an appetite for the Word of God, an activity in the work of God, and then you have an availability to the will of God, I let the will of God control my life. I'll never forget it. When I first started out, when I first got saved, I was a welder at Buyer Sheet Metal in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Are you listening? And I mean, I was going in that field. I was going in that direction, you know. God called me to preach February the 2nd. I surrendered to preach of 1981. And God began to deal with me about my purpose for you, son, is not welding, but preaching. Now, I'm not knocking bivocational preaching. I'm not knocking that at all. Amen. But God, I wasn't married, see. So I didn't have to have a large amount of money coming in because I didn't have an expensive wife then. I do now, but not then. Say amen, honey. You're on the back row. That's right. But then, you know, it was just me and my four-wheel drive Toyota truck. Amen. And my eight tracks and cassettes, of course, it was gone. I had to replace them, though, with gospel stuff. But that's all I had. Lord started dealing with me about preaching. And when I surrendered to preach, I went in, and the Lord began to deal with me about going to Bible college and trying to get some training, trying to get some sense in this hard head. Because I sure didn't get none in high school because I cheated my way through mostly. And passed on being a teacher's pet. But I was lost, amen. Hello. I was lost, Brother Jackie. I wasn't saved. If I'd have been saved, I'd have been a straight A student, probably. Say amen, Brother Sal. I got one amen out of the crowd. That's right. I'll give you $1 right to 30. But the Lord started dealing with me about going to Bible college. And that job was going to be in the way. So I went in, and I'm talking about Mr. Byers himself. I told him, I said, Roger, I said, God has saved me and called me to preach. And I said, I'm turning in my notice. I said, I'm going to Bible college. Stepped away from good money. And for a young person, good money was a good thing. Stepped away from good money with benefits and all of that and started working part-time in a man in the church. He had a cabinet shop. He built residential cabinets, and I started working for him, and he would let me, just if I needed to be off, I'd be off. Go preach, go to college, whatever. And of course, I was still living at home, too, so there wasn't big finances there. You know, Mom took care of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he looked at me, and he said, you're crazy. That boss, when I told him I'm stepping aside, I'm laying aside the money and the benefits and all of that, I'm going with God. Boy, my flesh didn't want to do that. My flesh did not want to do that. I was stepping out into the unknown. I didn't know how or what or the future was going to hold. I just knew God wanted more out of me than what I was given. And I said, Lord, here I am. I'm available to your will. If you want me to go to Bible college, I'll go. I hate school, Lord. You know that. Amen. Spiritual or secular. I hate schoolwork. I hate English. It don't matter what you put it in. English, I despise it. And guess what I had every year? English. I'm telling you, that really stretched my spiritual life. Really did. When we had to diagram sentences, and I didn't learn that in school. I hated that. I never did figure that one out. All them different lines. It just looked like a sophisticated way to play hangman, looked like to me. Well, when I get saved, I think I'm past all that. I go to Bible college, and the first night I meet Richard Hughes, Dr. Richard Hughes. And he comes in, and we've got English. He asked, listen, I'm talking about, there's several adults in there. I'm 21, and several adults in there, been out of school. He said, how many parts of speech are there? There wasn't five hands raised in that whole class. And I probably could have named a few of them, but I probably couldn't have found them in a sentence. And so he had to take that whole first year and go all the way back and start teaching us nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives and all that stuff. That was depressing. I told him, I said, this is Bible college. I came to get some learning on Bible, learn about the Bible, not verbs and adjectives. But of course, after he got done with us, I seen where that could be a benefit. Amen. But there's the availability, the will of God. Do you have that? Is there a reservation in any of your hearts that says, Lord, I'm not going to do that. You want me to do that? I'm not doing that. When you tell the Lord no, your growth stopped there. Write this one down. This one's another step of spiritual survival, adoration in the worship of God. You know, you need to learn to worship right off the bat. And a good place to do that is in private, in your closet of prayer. Get in there by yourself and worship the Lord and learn to love on the Lord. It's a difference of loving the Lord and loving on the Lord. A lot of people that quit have never worshiped. Once you get a taste of worship, and worship does not just something for the Lord, it'll do a lot for you. Worship. Adoration of worship is a step of survival. Am I the memories that God has put in our heart and life in that area? Private worship. Just private worship. Getting along by yourself when nobody's looking, nobody's listening, you're not trying to impress anybody, you're not intimidated because somebody's listening. Just by yourself and just get to thanking the Lord for saving you. Thank the Lord for His goodness to you. And just love on Him, amen, and submit to Him. I'll tell you, it'll do something for you. And then number five, write this one down. I'm just going to give it to you. Number five, there must be the avoidance of your weaknesses against God. Are you listening? One of the greatest things you can do as a Christian to survive is to know what your weaknesses are. Why, preacher? Because if you're going to fall, you're going to fall through your weak areas. Never tempt your weak areas. Never compromise your weak areas. Never go to a place, don't run with a crowd, don't do anything that's going to appeal to your weaknesses. Because once you have a weakness, it's always going to be a weakness. You can learn to live in victory over it and without it and all of that, but if you ever get around it, it'll be a weakness to you. It'll appeal to you. There's a weakness there. And there's a connection in the Bible between wickedness and weakness. So whatever your weaknesses are, avoid them. Avoid and abstain from your weaknesses that are against God. I think that's excellent. That's an excellent point. Another step, ladies and gentlemen, another step of spiritual survival, and all these can be preached, is you have an acceptance of the ways of God. An acceptance of the ways of God. His ways are not our ways. Our ways are not His ways. Spiritual survival will come when you say, Lord, not my ways, not what I want. It's not my ways. It's your ways that I'm interested in. His ways oftentimes are misunderstood. Amen. Hard to get a hold of. But we know the ways of God from the Word of God. See, some of these are real close together. You know the ways of God because you know the Word of God. And then here's another one that I've learned. This is the last one I want to deal with this morning. And that is adjust to the whippings of God. Amen. That's right. I had an earthly daddy that would take me to the back bedroom when I needed it. Amen. I mean, really did. And thank God for it. You know what that proved? That proved he loved me. You know what else it proved? It proved I was his child. I've told it here. Daddy, there was kids in the neighborhood. I had cousins and things in the neighborhood. You know, they needed their hind end whipped off. They did. They did. They did. They're the ones that, corrupted me mostly. And you know, I would really love for Daddy to have tore them up. But you know what? I never seen, Brother Rob, never seen Daddy whip one of them. Even if they're guilty of the same thing I was. You know why? They weren't his. But I was. And because of that, he loved me enough that he knew that correction was necessary, and he'd take me to the back bedroom for a prayer meeting. And I'd do all the praying. I told him down the other night, I said, my daddy was very patriotic. I said, he'd take me to the bedroom, my friend. He'd furnish the stripes. I'd see stars, and I'd turn blue. And occasionally, there might have a little bit of red in there somewhere. Amen. But thank God for that. Listen, you know what the Bible says? I'll be done in a second. Hebrews chapter number 12 talks about chastisement. You know what the Bible says? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Amen. And in Bible context, that is not a curse word. And the only time that word ever comes across my lips is when I'm quoting that verse of Scripture. Are you listening? And what he's saying there was, you claim to be saved. You claim that I'm your father. But when you do wrong and I don't whip you, he's saying you're a bastard. That is, you're an illegitimate child. You don't belong to me. If you belong to me, I will get with you, and it won't take me 6 years to do it. Look in your life. Is there the chastening hands of God? Job 5:17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Deuteronomy 8:5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. A daddy or a parent that will let their children do anything they want is a parent that does not love their children. Amen. My daddy used to tell me, son, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be tearing you up. And I said, Daddy, I wish you didn't love me quite as much. If I thought, you know, if he didn't love me as much, I'd get out of some of these beatings. Amen. Well, we got whoopings. Anybody ever got whoopings? You know, most people today, they don't even know what that is. Well, do you need it defined? If you need it defined, you've never had a whooping. Blake's had one. I know he had at least one. He thought he was going to heaven. And I thought I was helping him get there. Hey, man. I mean, I tore his hind end up, buddy. I don't know if he's over it yet. I don't think he learned much from it. My daddy whooped me. He didn't beat me. He whooped me one time like that. And buddy, I've never forgot that. Daddy had a razor strop. That's what I always called it. Razor strap, razor strop. You know, like barbers had on them old-timey barbers had on the barber chair. You know, they'd pull that thing out there and they'd take that razor. Well, that thing had about 5 or 6 layers of leather. You know, it wasn't just one piece. It'd be 2 or 3, you know. And Daddy, man, he'd take that thing hold of us only when it was necessary. I mean, if it was bad enough, he'd go get the razor strap. And Brother Bob, you know what that was? He'd come around one lick and about, he'd be, pow, here come layer 2, pow, here layer 3, pow. About one lick, I'd get 5 licks out of each lick. I said, oh, my soul. And then Daddy told me one day, he said, son, this is hurting me. Worse, as bad as it is you. I'll start saying, Daddy, you want to bet on that? You want to lose a little money on that, Daddy? Are you listening? I'm talking about things to adjust. Adjust to the whippings of God. When God's correcting you, get right about it. When God's dealing with you, speaking to you, rebuking you, whatever, get right about that. Adjust to the whippings of God, and you'll learn to survive spiritually. So there's some practical, very simple, very practical points and truths that I've saw in my life that helped me to survive, and I believe it'll help you too if you'll adapt those into your life. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know that there are some young converts in the service tonight that are this morning that needed to hear this, that will help them to know how to grow as a young Christian, what steps they need to take.